Every weekday afternoon, it's the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Well, I've been doing this as far as Sports Talk Radio since 2008, and I've had the pleasure of having our next guest on a few times over the years. It's never a dull moment. And let's just see here. We quickly looking at his resume, we're talking about a former Alabama linebacker, great NFL star, Baltimore, Indianapolis Colts, the Miami Dolphins. He was a player for two legends, a Bear Bryant and a Don Shula. And he's now a football analyst with Indianapolis Colts radio and TV work as well. Barry Krause joins us again. Barry, first of all, welcome back to the show. I hope you and your family are staying safe, and it's always a pleasure to have you on.
Well, thank you. Everybody's doing well here, and looking forward to talking with you tonight.
Hey, by the way, I'm curious. Earlier this week, I saw this poll coming out of Tuscaloosa, and they were asking, you know, to name their favorite play in Alabama history as far as football history. And, you know, I was thinking about that along the lines of, you know, if you were a fan of USC or Florida State or whatever the case may be. I don't think I've ever asked you this question, you know, because obviously you and your teammates, the goal line stand, helping Alabama beat Penn State for that national title in that 78 season, 79 Sugar Bowl against an undefeated Penn State team. What would you say if I asked you, what is your favorite play in Alabama football history?
You know, I am a little biased, but still, you know, playing for Alabama, playing for Coach Bryant, you knew what Alabama was about, and Coach Bryant was about, and he talked about really defense, about making plays and stepping up and making things happen, not only on the football field but also in life. And he was big into life analogies, and you know, he always talked about there's going to be a time and a place in your life where you know you might have your back to the goal line and might be fourth down, and you've got to dig deep inside yourself, and it's called gut check. And, you know, you're going to have to suck it up and rise to the occasion and make something happen in your life. So I undoubtedly think the goal line stand is the greatest play in Alabama history. I mean, there's no other play that touches it. I love Joe Namath. He was good. And then Kenny Stabler with the run in the mud and all these, and the kick, and I appreciate that. That was beating Auburn. But what play, you know, and George Teague had a great play in a Sugar Bowl, but unfortunately right. It was a no play. Believe it or not, it was a great play, but it was a no play because we were off sides. But to have the game on the line, have a national championship on the line, and for us to stand up and rise to the occasion, like he said, I think it's the epitome of what Alabama football is all about. And that's what we did that day. It was for a national championship. It wasn't just to beat Auburn. It wasn't just to beat Tennessee. You know, and I just feel like that picture immortalizes, you know, what Coach Bryant, or epitomizes what Coach Bryant and Alabama football is all about. Because we're tough. I mean, we will rise to the occasion. We will make it happen. And like you said, you know, Penn State was undefeated. They were on a 19-game win streak. And we shut them out. I mean, not shut them out, but, you know, basically beat them and upset them in the greatest game of the year. And so that's kind of how I feel. I just love looking back and knowing that I was a part of a great piece of history in Alabama football.
I've had Don McNeil on the show several times, and he had a key play, too, on that goal line stand. And, you know, third down left Penn State, I mean, basically inches away from the goal. And refresh my memory. Was it Marty Lyons who basically, during a timeout, you know, told Chuck Fazina, you better pass as far? I mean, it wasn't talking trash. It was just talking with confidence.
Well, you know, if Marty said that, I've heard that he had said that. I'm not sure, but it makes sense. But, you know, just give Don McNeil a lot of credit. We have a little banter back and forth, and he said, you know, Barry Krause, you wouldn't be who you are if it wasn't for my play on that goal line. And I said, I appreciate that. And I said, but let's be honest, if I don't make the play on the goal line, they don't remember your tackle. And that's, and he went, you're right, because that play doesn't matter then, right? Everything is kind of nullified. They score, so they don't even remember that play. So, but Don McNeil was a phenomenal football player. There are a lot of great football players on that football team that made plays that day. I mean, Bruce Bolton was my roommate. He caught that touchdown pass, put us 14 up at halftime. That was a great touchdown catch. There were just Murray Legge had a great game. He made some things happen. Lou Eichner comes up with a great punt return for about 60-yard return. I mean, you know,
that's, and these were just good team players, too, you're talking about. We're not talking about first-team All-Americans. For some of these guys you're mentioning, they were just outstanding team players who knew what their role was.
Right. And every one of them will say that's one of the hardest-hitting games that we ever played. I mean, you got to give a lot of credit to Penn State. Bruce Clark and Matt Millen were two defensive linemen that were phenomenal in that game. They really were in our backfield a lot, disrupting our offense. And so we really struggled offensively to get any kind of momentum going, but was able to put some points on the board. But obviously making a mistake, fumbling the ball in that fourth quarter on about the, 40, 45-yard line, Penn State took the momentum back. And, they're number one in the team in the country, so they basically got the – momentum and drove all the way down to the goal line and really felt like, they could get it in the end zone with less than a foot. And I think it really shocked them when we rose to the occasion and stopped them and stopped that momentum. They did get the ball back again, but we shut them down. But I think that really mentally, when you look at a football game, there's ebb and tide and there's momentum that you really almost can't even touch, but you can see and you could feel. And you could feel in that Superdome that Penn State got it back. I mean, they got it back and drove, 45 yards down to the goal line. I mean, they really had taken control of the game again and was going to make it, obviously they're going to, hopefully score and take the lead back from Alabama. But, we were able to stop them that day. But, again, a lot of great players, a lot of great plays that day.
That particular play also made somebody by the name of Daniel Moore a very well-known individual, especially in the state of Alabama. I was telling the story last hour that I remember going to a couple of football games in 1980, and, I always save all game programs when I go to, games. And, a couple of years ago, I was just, going through the game program, and I saw this ad for the Daniel Moore print. You could get it fairly cheap. It was under $20 or something like that. But a print of that famous goal line stand against Penn State. And I was joking because you could get it relatively cheap then, and now is worth thousands of dollars. Did you ever get one, or did you ever have a chance to get one of those for your collection?
Oh, yeah, Daniel Moore was very gracious, and he gave me what do they call it, a printer's choice?
A printer's proof, right, often just to make sure it keeps the quality of your print. And, yeah, those are really, really super nice.
Yeah, so he gave me one, and then I have no idea how I got another one, but I was looking through, I think somebody just gave it to me because, like you said, they were cheap. And so somebody sent one to me. And so I was looking through my basement, looking through some stuff. And all of a sudden I found another one. I was like, oh, my gosh, I've got another one. So I framed it. And that is so true. I had the fortunate opportunity to meet Daniel Moore. What a phenomenal artist. I love Oil. I'm an artist too, and that rendition was phenomenal, and he's just been really kind to me. He gave me a book. He came out with a book, and on the front of the book is the picture of the goal line stand, and he talked about his first, how that broke, or gave him that great opportunity to make a great living with a lot more, obviously, pictures that he was able to paint. But he compared it, and this is, you know, obviously I have a lot of respect and honor to the military, but he basically said it was very similar to the picture of Iwo Jima, the Marines putting up the flag there, and he talked about it being a pyramid, a diamond, and then he talked about how two great programs, two great coaches, basically collided at the top, at the peak of the event, and it was just really. It really interesting how he perceived that photo and then made it into an awesome painting about how, you know, two great programs collided and we were able to come out on the top. So it was phenomenal. I got to tell you a real quick story. A guy calls me out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and he's doing like an iPod or whatever you call those things. And he said, would you like to talk to Mike Gooman? And I said,
wow.
Oh, my gosh, yes. I've never spoken to Mike Gooman in 45 years. He's the one who I stopped on the goal line.
Right.
And I felt it kind of awkward, you know, talking to him. I said, okay, so, you know, how has your life been? And he says, my life has been fantastic. You know, he's done well professionally, but he would go around and do professional speaking and really kind of share the thought of, hey, you know, you give it your best, and not all, you know, it doesn't always come out as what you think it is. And him getting stopped on the goal line, and he jokingly said every time they play the Sugar Bowl, and I hear it too, is they'll always talk about that goal line stand when they show the Sugar Bowl is one of the greatest plays in Sugar Bowl history. And Mike Gooman says he gets phone calls, and they said, Hey, they're about to, you know, make that, you know, show that rerun of that play. And he goes, well, do me a favor, call me if I make it this time. So I had an opportunity to ask him. I said, well, you know, when we called timeout on that, or you guys called timeout on that, just before that goal line stand, what were you all talking about or doing in the huddle? Because I'm a broadcaster, too, and I wanted to find out, hey, what were you doing? He said, we didn't even say anything. He said, it was just quiet. He goes, really wasn't really doing anything. See, in our huddle, we had all grabbed arms and hands and really talked and said, hey, man, this is what it's about. This is what Coach Bryant talked about. We've got to make this happen. Somebody's got to make a play. Somebody's got to get there. So we were fired up. We were really fired up. And ironically, it was quiet over in the Penn State, you know, huddle over there during that timeout, that strategic timeout before they came back and ran that play. So there's a lot of stories that, you know, have come out over the years, and it was great to talk with Mike Gooman. He's a nice man.
One thing I've noticed every time I have you on, we never have enough time. I would love to have you back on sometime in July. I want to continue to wish you and your family, you know, continue to stay healthy as well, and hope that you make some nice new memories as far as the 4th of July weekend. But thank you so much again, Barry, for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you. You're very kind, and I really appreciate your thoughts, and thank you for having me on, and give me a call at any time. Thank you.
Look forward to it. Thank you again.